Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour, reporting with your news. I'm Mark Daly. WKHM News was the first to obtain and report details from a press release statement issued yesterday by the Mission Theater of Jackson's Board of Directors regarding the executive director position formerly held by Steve Tucker. According to the board, Tucker announced plans to retire at an October meeting with an original retirement date set for March 14th of this year. He was asked to step away from the executive director role at the end of 2025 to allow for a leadership transition while continuing to receive salary through his retirement date. The board says when that transition did not occur as planned, it formally ended Tucker's directorship on January 22nd, citing governance considerations. The board emphasized operations continue without disruption and declined further comment due to the employment privacy laws. The full press release is available exclusively at WKHM.com. Jackson police are investigating a shooting that happened early Saturday morning near the intersection of Prospect and Merriman Streets. Police say officers were first called to Henry Ford Jackson Hospital about 12:13 for a shooting victim. Investigators later determined the shooting occurred as a vehicle with a driver and passenger was traveling east on Prospect Street. A suspect vehicle stopped near the intersection, fired shots at the car. One bullet struck the passenger, a 24-year-old Jackson woman, in the chin. She was treated at the hospital and released. The driver, 35-year-old Jackson woman, was not injured. The suspect vehicle was last seen heading south on Merriman Street. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Jackson Police Department. Jackson police responded over the weekend to reports of people fighting in the street. When officers arrived, several vehicles were seen leaving the area at a high rate of speed. One officer initiated a pursuit, which ended when the driver ran into a nearby home and was taken into custody. Police later obtained a search warrant for the residence where the evidence connected to the incident was recovered. One person has been arrested. Additional charges are being sought against others involved. Photos related to the investigation can be found on the Jackson Police Department Facebook page. Location not indicated in that post either. Former Michigan Adult Protective Services employee is facing multiple felonies. Derek Plum is accused of embezzling more than $100,000 from three vulnerable adults. They say Plum forged their names to transfer deeds of their home to himself. According to the Kent County prosecutor, Plum is expected to be arraigned today. A man who threw a pipe bomb at police could spend the rest of his life in prison. Morgan Parrish was found guilty of igniting and throwing a bomb out of his RV last July in Van Buren County. He was charged with multiple felonies and found guilty in December. 58-year-old Parrish received a maximum sentence of up to 37 and a half years in prison. Battle Creek police have charged a man with animal torture after they found a dog shot in the nose. Police say Dylan Hall broke into his brother's house and shot Luna, the dog, on the right side of its nose. Luna was taken to the emergency vet for treatment. Hall was formally charged with first-degree home invasion and animal torture. Congressman Tom Barrett introduces proposed legislation that would set term limits for federal judges. The Judicial Term Limits Amendment would set a 20-year term limit for all federal judges, including Supreme Court justices. He says the average age of federal judges has increased since the country's founding, adding that 20 years was practically a lifetime in the late 18th century. The constitutional amendment would only apply to newly appointed judges, allowing the term limit to take effect gradually. He adds that it would also prevent the president and Senate from having new judicial vacancies immediately. The ribbon was cut and the new $50 million facility is open for elementary students of the Western School District. The new Western Elementary building celebrated the long journey yesterday with a ribbon cutting and open house. Western Schools Board President of 17 years, Dr. John Sheets, was excited for the event.
I've got goosebumps right now. It's just an amazing road that we went through, the trip from starting with the elementaries and deciding to combine us together. It made so much sense financially, and having the kids together, that way they aren't coming back together at middle school. I think it's just great for the whole community.
He said the technology in the building is unlike anything else in Jackson County.
There are a lot of advantages for our teachers to help students learn. And for the students to have those types of technology and to be able to expand their horizon too. I love this central area that where everyone can meet and greet, and it's just an amazing place.
Eduardo Block is the director of TMP in Kalamazoo. His organization was the managing partner, and he was the initial designer of the new elementary building. He said the journey was long, but was worth it.
I think the collaboration that we had with the district, it's been amazing. Not always you get that. You know, we became friends along the journey, and I think that we were always trying to do what would fit right for the district. We had a big challenge because we started before COVID, and after COVID was when the bids were coming in. So prices were not the ones that we expected, but we became creative and tried to, you know, massage the project in a way that was affordable for the district.
You can find pictures of the new facility on the News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM Facebook page. Consumers Energy is reaching out to customers after last week's brutal cold drove up energy use and will lead to higher bills in the coming weeks. The utility reports households used about 25% more natural gas last month compared to January of last year, even before sub-zero temperatures set in. Electric use is also higher. Consumers Energy says it's contacting customers throughout February to help them understand their bills, find ways to save energy, and connect with assistance if needed. The company has delivered supplies to warming shelters, sent statewide emails with savings tips, and recently provided $5 million to nonprofit organizations helping with energy bills. Customers needing help are urged to call 211, visit consumersenergy.com/assistance, or call 800-477-5050. Jackson County Board of Commissioners will meet during their study session on Tuesday, with one of the topics at hand being an aviation maintenance technician school being established at the Jackson County Airport. A memo to the board from Airport Manager Juan Zapata says that as the need for a locally based trade school that can train local residents in aviation maintenance was identified as a priority for the airport, staff have been working on plans to establish an aviation maintenance technician school. The school curriculum has been developed and is in the process of being approved by the FAA. Staff have also started to collect donated equipment that will be used by the school. In mid-January, an email was received from State Representative Kathy Schmaltz requesting applications for state legislatively directed spending items, according to the memo. An application was submitted requesting funding to establish an aviation maintenance technician school at the airport. The application deadline did not allow for the usual course of action in requesting support from the county. Zapata is requesting support from the county board for the establishment of an aviation maintenance technician school at the Jackson County Airport by approving a resolution in support of the school. Jackson College invites the community to a ribbon-cutting ceremony on Monday, February 16th, 5 p.m., celebrating the opening of the new Applied Technology Center on Central Campus. As communities grapple with aging infrastructure and an increasing demand for reliable utility services, Jackson College says they're positioning itself at the forefront of workforce development. The college is striving to make sure its utility and new HVAC-R programs are designed to meet critical industry needs and prepare students for in-demand careers. The college sees its new Applied Technology Center as a step forward in advancing their mission to support regional workforce and economic development while expanding its utilities programs. Developed in collaboration with key industry partners, the Applied Technology Center features flexible, innovative learning spaces that provide hands-on, real-world training opportunities. The facility includes two program bay areas, one with an extra tall roof to accommodate indoor utility poles. An outdoor training area supports a variety of utility work, including burying cables and operating a bucket truck. Congressman Tim Walberg is inviting high school students in Michigan's 5th Congressional District to take part in the 2026 Congressional Arts Competition in recognition of the nation's 250th anniversary. This year's theme is America, 250. The winning artwork will be displayed at the Cannon Tunnel at the U.S. Capitol alongside winners from across the country. Students are asked to reflect on America's history, values, and ideals through their work. Entries must be submitted by midnight, March 28th. Full guidelines are available at walberg.house.gov. Talks are expected to be held today in the 154-day-old strike by nurses at Henry Ford Genesis Hospital in Grand Blanc. More than 700 nurses went on strike on Labor Day over wanting better pay and patient-to-nurse ratios. Both sides released a joint statement over the weekend saying they reached an important milestone towards ending the strike. They say they remain optimistic as crucial steps in the negotiation process continue. According to published reports, Edwin Romero Gutierrez was arrested after federal agents tried to stop his car and Gutierrez tried to get away. Gutierrez was eventually arrested and taken into custody. A spokesperson for ICE says Gutierrez was previously arrested by Border Patrol in 2023 after crossing the border illegally in the Rio Grande Valley. He is currently in ICE custody pending further immigration proceedings. The Diocese of Kalamazoo has announced a major restructuring plan for four Catholic schools in Kalamazoo County: St. Monica, St. Augustine Cathedral School, Light of Christ Academy, and Hackett Catholic Prep High School. Bishop Edward Losey made the announcement.
Today we are announcing a restructuring of the already incorporated Catholic Schools of Greater Kalamazoo, or CSGK for short. Now, this corporation was established in 2006.
Losey says these schools will be diocesan-sponsored, no longer reliant on any individual parish. He says the new structure will position the schools well for growth. Young people are reflecting fondly on the COVID-19 pandemic. That's according to a newly released study by Michigan State University. Researchers tracked the same 248 students from 2020 to 2025. Associate Professor of Psychology Bill Chopik says some also changed their career goals to either stay in remote work or stay away from it.
When this new job and employment market opened up, where did these people find themselves? And turns out that it was aligned with kind of their preferences. You know, if they like talking to a lot of people during the day, then they like the in-person stuff. If they're more kind of private or shy, they prefer the remote and hybrid jobs. So it was kind of really interesting because we didn't think to ask that right when the pandemic started because we didn't really know what work would look like.
MSU researchers found that in the 4 years after the pandemic, the majority of college students successfully bounced back.
People did kind of rebound at different rates, even though on average, it looks like most people rebounded. But I think by far one of the biggest correlations of the study were people who were regularly engaged with social contact. And that's both online and offline, texting people, Zooming with people, meeting people in person, spending quality time with your friends and family.
The study tracked 248 MSU college students from 2020 through 2025, all experienced rising life satisfaction and declining loneliness between the end of the pandemic and now. An ice rescue of a different sort on Sunday in southern Lower Michigan. Michigan News Network's Beth Fisher reports four horses had to be rescued after falling through ice.
The four horses had escaped their enclosure and walked onto an icy pond at the Turtle Creek Golf Course in Newton Township, south of Battle Creek, and were stuck. The horses were in shallow water, and the Calhoun County Area Law Enforcement Underwater Rescue Team and some area fire departments responded. They worked to manually get each horse out of the pond, and the horses were able to then walk away. They received treatment, but no injuries were reported. Beth Fisher, Michigan News Network.
All right, the big game. Of course, we can't call it what it's actually called here, but you know what I mean. The big game set to take place on Sunday. Odds makers are once again out with a series of prop bets that may sort of be related to the big game. Michigan News Network's Tony Ortiz.
Among some of the more interesting items that bettors can wager on: the length of this year's national anthem, which currently has an over-under of 2 minutes. Which head coach will be shown first on NBC's broadcast? The current favorite is the Patriots' Mike Vrabel. And which famous fans of the two teams will be shown first? The odds makers have noted Seahawks fan Chris Pratt and noted Patriots fan Mark Wahlberg as the two favorites for that prop bet. Now, some of the more unusual prop bets that you can wager on include which touchdown celebration will happen first, the spike is the favorite, and will the game be interrupted by a streaker? The current favorite is no. By the way, even though Super Bowl 60 hasn't been played yet, oddsmakers have listed the Buffalo Bills as the favorite to win Super Bowl 61, which will be played next February in Los Angeles. Tony Ortiz for the Michigan News Network.
At least we won't be seeing Taylor Swift in this Super Bowl. It's Tuesday. It's the third day of February, and today we celebrate American Painters Day. It's Elmo's birthday. No tickles on his birthday. For Chaplin's Memorial Day, it's National Carrot Cake Day, International Golden Retriever Day, good, loyal, fun dog. National Missing Persons Day, it's National Wedding Ring Day. By the way, I mentioned we've got an immersive wedding experience coming up at the end of the month. Keep listening for details. It's National Women Physicians Day, and it's the Day the Music Died Day. It was on this date in 1870, the 15th Amendment was ratified, giving black men the right to vote. On this date in 1913, the 16th Amendment to the Constitution provided for a federal income tax was ratified. On this date in 1924, Woodrow Wilson, the 28th president, died at his home in Washington, D.C. at the age of 68. It was on this date in 1959, an airplane crash near Mason City, Iowa, killed Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens. It was on this date in 2013, a halftime performance by Beyonce. A power outage occurred afterwards during Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans at the Superdome. It was on this date in 2014. Joan Mondale, the wife of 42nd President Walter Mondale, passed away at the age of 83. It was on this date in 2016. President Barack Obama paid his first visit to the U.S. mosque in Baltimore. It was on this date in 2020. The first Democratic caucus in Iowa was won narrowly by Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders after lengthy delays and irregularities in reporting the results. And it was on this date in 2023. The coldest wind chill likely ever to be recorded in the U.S. of minus 108 degrees was taken at Mount Washington Observatory near New Hampshire. Birthdays today include Amy Lou Wood, 32, actress from The White Lotus, Sex Education. Bridget Reagan is 44, actress, White Collar, Agent Carter, Jane the Virgin. Isaiah Fisher is 50 today, actress from Now You See Me and Confessions of a Shopaholic. Warwick Davis is 56, actor from Star Wars franchise, also from the Harry Potter franchise. Meera Tierney is 61, actress from ER, Twisters, and News Radio. Keith Gordon is 65, actor, director, Back to School. Nathan Lane is 70 today, from The Producers and from The Birdcage. Morgan Fairchild is 76, actress from Falcon Crest. The late Norman Rockwell would have had a birthday today. The American painter passed away in 1978. Other birthdays today include Sean Kingston, 36, rapper, Beautiful Girls, Fire Burning. Jessica Harp is 44, singer from The Wreckers. Daddy Yankee, Gasolina. I played that at quite a few weddings. He's 50 today. Patricia Berg is 62, country singer. Lee Ronaldo from Sonic Youth is 70 today. And Dave Davies, frontman for the Kinks, has a birthday today. He's 79.
I'm not content to be with you in the daytime. Girl, I want to be with you all of the time.
For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly.
Nighttime yours, leave me never.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Now let's jump right into a Detroit Hockey Red Wings big shutout win yesterday on the road over the Colorado Avalanche. The game was out in Denver, which served as Detroit West for the night as Hockey Town showed up to help the Wings end their three-game losing skid against the best team in the NHL, no less. Detroit scored 33 seconds into the game. That was off of Kasper's goal, making it 1-0 for the Winged Wheelers.
Now the Wings come back 2-on-1 quickly. Raymond over the line, moving in. Pass across the wing, score right off the bat. Sparko Kasper got the feed from Raymond. And the Red Wings grab the lead, 1-0, 33 seconds into the hockey game.
And it was a while before the Wings scored again. We'll get to that here shortly. It was also John Gibson's night as he made 21 saves for his fourth shutout of the season. And it ties the second most shutouts in a single season for the veteran in his 13-year NHL career. Couple of those saves last night. How about one off the post? Do we call this a doink in hockey?
Makar with a feed left side. A pass hit the goalpost. Nachushkin got the feed off the right side and hit the goalpost from the line. A shot taken. And Gibson makes the save. And the Red Wings will clear it out of harm's way into the Avalanche end.
Another save in the third.
Makar with a feed left side. A pass hit the goalpost. Nachushkin got the feed off the right side and hit the goalpost from the line. A shot taken, and Gibson makes the save, and the Red Wings will clear it out of harm's way into the Avalanche end.
How about we go to this save for Gibson?
McKinnon picks up there the pass, go. Rolled it to the line. Makar with a drive wide to the goal. I don't know if Gibson saw it. Now one-time shot from the left side by McKinnon after getting the cross-ice feed, and Gibson with a glove hand save.
And then we jump to a little bit later in the third, Compher gets himself a highlight.
And the Red Wings hang on. Here's Makar from the line. Pass left side, McKinnon. Tried to center it out in front. Gibson swats it away. It's played over by Nachushkin. Diving to play it away was Compher, and it comes back across the Avalanche blue line.
And Raymond gets the empty netter to put the Wings up 2-0 late in the third.
Avalanche are offside. They got a tag up. McKinnon throws it over on the right wing wall for Brock Nelson, who's hit hard by Sherratt. And the Red Wings will pick it off and fire it all the way down the ice. First man to the puck, Lucas Raymond. He scores into the empty net. Nachushkin takes a stick, smashes it off the goalpost, breaks it in two, but the Red Wings get the empty netter, and it's 2-0 Detroit.
Anytime the Wings can beat, anytime the Avs lose, they're kind of like the LA Lakers of hockey. Anytime the Avs lose, that's a good day. Here's Ken Cal with the call in the final seconds.
Johansson trying to dig it loose. It comes back into the high slot. Backhand try. Blocked right out in front of Gibson. And this game is over. Time is wind down. And the Detroit Red Wings with a 2-0 shutout victory on the road in Denver tonight for John Gibson, his fourth shutout of the season, his 28th shutout of his career. And he stopped all 22 shots in a thrilling Red Wings road victory, a big 2 points for Detroit here tonight. The final score, Red Wings 2, Colorado nothing.
Yeah, again, big win for the Wings on the road in Denver against the best team in the NHL. Wings continue on the road tomorrow against the Utah Mammoth. Now, with the win, the Wings now have 72 points in 57 games this year. That's good for second in both the Atlantic Division and the Eastern Conference. On to high school sports. No, wait. Rest of the NHL. We've got a few more things before we get to high school stuff. Rest of the NHL. From yesterday, it was the Capitals beating the Islanders 4-0. Senators just squeaking by the Penguins 3-2. Sabres beating up on the Panthers 5-3. Wild in overtime over the Canadiens, 4-3. Predators getting a win over Greg O'Connor's St. Louis Blues, 6-5. Blackhawks beat the Sharks, 6-3. Stars over the Jets in overtime, 4-3. Mammoth on top of the Canucks, 6-2. And the Maple Leafs over the Flames, 4-2. On to the NBA yesterday. NBA light schedule yesterday. Hornets over the Pelicans, 102-95. Rockets beat the Pacers, 118-114. Grizzlies, putting up 137 points, beat the Timberwolves, 128. And the 76ers, 128 over the Clippers, to 113. Pistons, they're back in action tonight at the Little Caesars Arena, where they host Connor Dockery's Denver Basketball Nuggets. Now, the Denver Nuggets, now with the Joker, he's back. They are 19-7 when they are on the road. Pistons are 19-5 when they're at home. The line on this one is Detroit by 3.5. Matchup predictor, 57.7% in favor of the Detroit Basketball Pistons. We're going to have that contest for you down the hall to the left, Fox Sports 101.9 FM. It's a 6:35 broadcast, so that's going to make it a 7 o'clock tip time for Detroit basketball. On to high school basketball now. Taking a look first, boys basketball in the Big 8. Nothing from last night, but tonight, full schedule Big 8, Niles Brandywine and Bronson, 6:30, 7 o'clock, The Valley at Dalton Kellogg. At 7 o'clock, Springport is at Hillsdale. 7 o'clock, Pittsford's at Reading, and Colon is at Union City. So, looks like Concord has the night off, but Springport from Jackson County's in action tonight in the Big 8. Cascades Conference last night, it was Leslie defeating Hanover Horton, 55-49. Stockbridge all over Addison, 70-42. Today, Cascades Basketball, Manchester at Center at 6. Jonesville at Addison at 7. Homer at Columbia at 7. Napoleon at Grass Lake at 7. East Jackson at Leslie. And Hanover Horton at Vandercook Lake. All tip times, 7 o'clock, with the exception of that Manchester at Michigan Center contest. Boys basketball in the 8. I-8 basketball, where we have tonight, you've got Plainwell at Harper Creek at 7. Vicksburg at Penfield at 7. And Okemos and Northwest, that's a 7 o'clock tip time. Coldwater at Parchment at 7. And Madison of the Adrian variety on the road at Western, 7 o'clock for the tip time there. On to the White in the SEC White. Ipsy Lincoln at Chelsea. Tecumseh at Hudson, Adrian at Jackson, and that's our broadcast game of the week. That's happening tonight, 6:45 for the broadcast, 7 o'clock tip time here on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, Pinckney at Ypsilanti Community, that contest at 7 o'clock also. So in the White, SEC White, current standings in boys basketball. Does have Lincoln at 8-0, Chelsea at 5-1, Jackson and Adrian in the third spot right now. So if they want to climb that ladder, there needs to be a win tonight. So again, Jackson in that third spot at 4-2, Adrian at 4-3 right now. Jackson overall in the season 10-5. They are 12 and Adrian's 12-3. So this should be a pretty decent matchup we're going to have for you tonight on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Big 8 for girls basketball. Tonight, you've got Bronson at Concord, Reading at Quincy, Springport at Stockbridge, and Union City at Vermontville Maple Valley. 7 o'clock tip time across the board in Big 8 girls basketball. Cascades Conference girls basketball. Manchester getting the win over BD, 42-24 last night. Center getting the win over a pretty decent Bath team, 56-39 for that final last night, as Michigan Center girls varsity got that win. Kara Straub led a very balanced attack with 18 points. Ella Best at a 9. Reese Wright, 8. Maurice View had 8. McKinley Gaddy had 8 boards, 8 assists for the Cardinals last night. And a makeup from 12-18, Addison at Jonesville. Jonesville getting the 58-21 win last night in Cascades girls basketball. Sticking with girls basketball, this time it's from the 8. I-8 basketball last night saw Harper Creek beating Three Rivers 52-50. Okemos over Hastings 58-18. Otsego beating Marshall 58-53. Tonight you've got East Lansing at Coldwater, Western at Holt tonight, and Penfield's at Vicksburg. Tip time, 7 o'clock across the board for girls basketball. In the white for girls basketball. Nothing from last night, but tonight you've got Lincoln at Chelsea, Pinckney at Ypsilanti Community, Saginaw Heritage at Tecumseh, and Jackson at Adrian. So 5:30, 5:30, 6:30, 7. So that Jackson at Adrian contest, 7 o'clock tonight. That's girls basketball. And then we head to the SCAA East. And Jackson Christian tonight, 7:30 tip time at Pittsford. Big Ten basketball. Not a lot happening in the Big Ten from last night. But tonight, you have UCLA hosting Rutgers. That's a 9:30 tip time. USC is hosting Indiana. That's a 10 o'clock tip time. And MSU, they get back in action tomorrow when they are on the road at Minnesota. U of M, they're back in it on Thursday as they host Penn State. Elsewhere in high school sports, let's pivot over to wrestling. J-High, the Vikings had a big night defeating Lumen Christi 47-29 and Ipsy 70-12. Lumen earned a split in the tri-meet with a 60-12 win over Ipsy. Jackson's Jaden Roy picked up a pair of pins on the night. Eden Nguyen earned a pin at 120 against Lumen Christi. For the Titans, Anthony Morin at 126 and Nolan Curtis at 132 both recorded pins against Jackson. Boys bowling, Napoleon topped Leslie 26-4. Chelsea defeated Jackson 24-6 last night. Jonesville beat Addison 23.5-6.5. Girls bowling, Napoleon defeated Leslie 29-1 last night. Chelsea topped Jackson 24-6, and Jonesville shut out Addison 30-0 last night. Bowling today is going to feature Columbia at Vandy. That's going to be at 3:30. Onsted at Ida, actually in Monroe, 4 o'clock. Manchester is going to be at Hanover Horton at 4:30. Northwest at Western at 3:30. And Hastings at Marshall, that's going to be at 3:30. In hockey, JU, Jackson United, having themselves a season. They're going to be at Chelsea tonight. That's going to be a 7:30 puck drop. All right, and that is your sports, and that is courtesy of Kettlebell Hotspot.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
Let's make our way to ABC News headlines in a little bit, courtesy of Think Jackson. But right now, we make our way to our newsmaker line. We welcome back to the program State Representative Sarah Leitner. Representative, good morning.
Good morning.
So we have plans for this Taco Tuesday. Is it going to be traditional tacos? Will it be more enchiladas? Maybe nachos?
You know, I don't know yet. It might be quesadillas.
Quesadillas, that works too. You know, it's you kind of some. I find you. I have to go out for a chimichanga. That's too much work for me to do at home.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
I generally don't fry anything at home.
So, things well? You had a week away last week. Did you get a little R&R?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. All right, well.
But, yeah, so, you know, ended up not missing much in Lansing. Session was moved to no attendance, no voting, so.
Okay. So that was like one day last week, right?
One day, there were two bills. I can't remember exactly what they were, to be honest. But, you know, this week, we no attendance, no voting today, but we do have session tomorrow.
Okay.
And on the agenda is something we talked about before. It was the fertility fraud package. So basically what had happened is a doctor basically used his own sperm and used it for his fertility clinic. So people would come in and they think they were getting one person, you know, with these certain qualities that they wanted, and they were actually getting his.
Well, yeah.
And so that also has caused some problems, obviously, in the communities with, you know, these basically these kids that were produced via, you know, fertility clinic.
Right.
Being related, you know, and later, like, figuring out, like, why, when we have kids now, are there issues? And come to find out, they're half-siblings.
Oh, wow.
Because that doctor had used his own sperm for years in his fertility clinic. So it's making that criminal, obviously, and actions taken, you know.
I'm having a hard time believing that that wasn't criminal before. At the least, it's... At the very least, it's misleading, and you're not providing your clients with the service that was promised. It's got to be. It's got to be. I mean, you can't just call up. So, it's got to be more than just calling the Better Business Bureau.
Yeah. So that's why these are going to be criminal, because it's false representation is what it is.
All right.
In those certain processes, assisted reproduction, you know, things of that nature. So that's a bipartisan package. It's five bills, and that should be going through. And then we have the baiting bill, you know, feeding or baiting deer, allowing for that. That's a Rep. Ward's bill that's coming up this week. And, oh, there was another one in regards to bow hunting, carrying your concealed weapon or a pistol, you know, being able to possess your firearm while you're bow hunting, you know, especially when you're talking like bear hunting or whatever, it's not going to be used for actually shooting, you know, bagging your bear or whatever. But like, say it gets vicious and starts on the attack, it gives you another means of being able to help protect yourself.
Right. Was that specifically for bear hunting or just hunting in general?
Bear hunting is the specific example.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, because, I mean, if you...
September.
Yeah, you take it with a bow, as, you know, talk about a deer. You take it with a bow, sometimes it's, you'll incapacitate it, but it'll still be alive. So, yeah, it's just a way
to... Right, or there might be others around that you don't see until, you know, you're maybe down there trying to take care of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, it just, again, it's another way to protect themselves against, you know, animals that are like, you're in my territory.
Right. Okay. So busy week then. Any committee stuff going to be happening this week?
Well, so the Oversight Committee and Appropriations Committee are actually doing a joint committee hearing tomorrow. And so that kind of has taken precedence. So our committee postponed. We were going to have committee, but obviously due to that, we have members that are sit on both of those committees, so they can't be in, you know, two places at once.
Okay. Well, there's representatives to figure out how to do that, but I'm kidding.
I know, you would think, but. And then another one, this is kind of a big one, is closing the foreign funding loophole for ballot proposals.
Okay.
So this is something that come up in elections. It's an election integrity bill, and it prohibits foreign funding of ballot proposals and initiatives in Michigan.
Okay. All right. So what, I mean... We've had experiences with that in the past. I don't want to say this past election, but the election before that, it felt like there was some influencing.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, there was. I mean, there was foreign-backed money spread across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And just in Michigan in the last election, over $34 million what has been found to have been funding some of the ballot initiatives. And so, you know, under the Campaign Finance Act, it will mandate disclosure, obviously, for all of that, which it already we already have that.
Right.
But they these political party and ballot initiative people will actually have to disclose their contributor information.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, it kind of lends to transparency, and that's been a theme with the current session of the House is transparency, and I feel like, yeah, that's something that voters would like to, if they care. I feel like it's mostly opposition that would be pointing it out. Hey, look where their money's coming from. But still, you know, there's constituents who are going to care about that kind of stuff.
Well, it is a deal, especially with the Chinese Communist Party. You know what I mean? Like, they can influence elections. They can influence lots of things in the country. And we have banned foreign money in, you know, some of our corporations. We won't fund them if they're partnering with the CCP, you know, or the Chinese. Because, you know, the foreign nationals that come in do pose a security threat to the United States.
Yeah. Okay. So that and more this week in Lansing. So
yeah, so we're trying to get busy. The governor is going to propose her final budget next week. So that's next week. So we'll see that.
When's the state of the state coming up? That feels like that should be pretty...
State of the state is February 25th.
Okay.
So I'm going to have a teacher as one of my guests from Jackson County. So that'll be fun. And then we'll hear what, you know, is on her priority list in here in a couple weeks.
Well, you get a kind of a hint of that when her budget comes out, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll see. Obviously, we'll see that next week.
All right. Yeah, I do want to ask you, and I know I ask you this, and I know you don't have control over it, because that's not your area, but... You know, Mondays we talk with Senator Schenck, and she was talking about how the Senate has kicked over some bills to the House, and she's concerned that with it being an election year and with some of the history between the Republican House and the Democratic Senate, that some of these bills won't be picked up. So I guess I'm more or less just picking your brain and asking for your thoughts, because they kicked over some human trafficking bills, and they also kicked over some bills for phone solicitation.
Okay.
And I guess I don't know.
Human trafficking, you know, the House also has a version of human trafficking bills, which we heard the last week of January, I think, or not the last week, the week before. We did hear some on in regards to minors specifically that have been charged with crimes, but while they were a victim of human trafficking and or sex trafficking, because it's both, because we have labor issues too, you know, where someone will pay for someone to come into the country,
right,
and then that person that paid takes their passport and says, you work for me now until I say so, and will hold their passport hostage. That's human trafficking. And so we have some stuff there, you know, they force them to commit crime a lot of times, things of that nature, and so we're looking at some expungement. There's some work that needs to be done because, you know, we did do a huge expungement reform, like my first term, and, you know, allowed for multiple misdemeanors and a couple felonies to be expunged.
Yeah.
But under the human trafficking, they want to go to like an unlimited number. And I think some work needs to be done. Some more conversations need to be had there. The other part of that package is really a definition change, which I didn't even... take testimony on those bills, because there's like another 15 bills that change the definition of prostitution, and they move it to commercial sexual activity. And to me, that's encompassing of a lot of other things and has unintended consequences.
Okay.
So, you know, we're taking a look, because I think there is some room for some of the expungement and, you know, areas, but...
Okay. Have you had a chance to look at the robocall bills that they kicked over? Again, I know it's outside of your area. You don't decide what goes to the floor.
I have not yet, but I know that everybody is sick and tired of robocalls. It's an election year. It's going to be even more. Not only do we get them for elections and, hey, take the survey or whatever, but now we're getting them like, I get like five a day for, hey, I got this new stock. You should look at it, you know? And I'm like... report and spam, you know, report and spam. Well, then I looked at my report and spam, and I have like 50 numbers in there already.
Yeah.
From this year.
Oh, they just find another one.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
And I get it. I get so sick of it myself, but it can be a useful tool sometimes. Like, for instance, when we do teletown halls, I mean, Representative Tim Walberg does those, you know, frequently, and you get that robocall up first, but then you're live on the line. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. I get it. I can't tell you how many loans I've been approved for. You know, it's...
Oh, yeah. And my mom, she's like, I didn't fill out any paperwork or anything. I'm like, oh, my God, Mom, don't ever, ever, ever talk to those people on the phone. Right.
But when it comes to something like this, it, you know, and I get the intention behind it, and I think everybody would like to see a little bit of relief for something like this. But at the same time, I have to believe most of these calls are coming from outside of the state. I'm not sure how the state would be able to regulate something that really is influenced beyond its borders.
Right. Well, I'll have to look, you know, take a deeper dive at it, but I would like to do something myself. I don't know.
I think that would be a great thing to be handled during a campaign year. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. All right.
But you know, being a campaign year, I mean, we are going to be focused on trying to make life more affordable. Obviously, the speaker has mentioned tax reform some more, which I do sit on that committee as well. So look forward to that. We're looking at some insurance fraud stuff still, you know, so that's coming up. And then obviously we just had a report in regards to the auto no fault and, you know, still trying to figure that out because it's like the current law is like still relatively new and we need reporting on that. And we all know that insurance is so expensive, especially if you're someone like me and has teen drivers.
Hey, I'm going to have Jason Gibson on the show tomorrow from Collier Gibson. Do we have and I know we're still waiting for a judge to make a decision. Will Collier Gibson be able to get the money for the Hays, you think, here relatively soon, or don't you know?
I don't know, because we did have a preliminary hearing, and the judge basically put a stay on that money, saying that can't be spent, can't go out the door, so we get this figured out. So they're wanting a full reporting because there is controversy between encumbered and non-encumbered funds, which, you know, for people out there, it's like, okay, if they already had the plan, the money set aside and planned out for, you know, this payment is supposed to go March 1, this one goes April 1, you know, things like that. They already had it laid out and turned in, then that's encumbered. If they didn't, that's non-encumbered. So they're saying that we don't know. We don't know what that number is. And it's like, well, we got the numbers from you, the department head. How do you not know?
Right.
So there's stuff that still needs to be worked out.
All right. Well, we'll continue to follow that. So, all right. Anything else left untouched? Representative Sarah Leitner joining us here on AM Jackson. Anything else untouched that we should be talking about today?
You know, that's it for now. I mean, it was Groundhog's Day, so... You know, I don't necessarily use the groundhog yesterday, but, you know, we look at the Farmer's Almanac, and it looks like we're going to have a cold, snowy winter the rest of the time anyways, probably till April.
Which, you know, I'm fine with, and I don't put a whole much of weight into what Punxsutawney Phil says. I'm more of a Woody the Woodchuck from Howl guy, so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, here's the deal. If it's 25 degrees and sunny like it was the other day, I can be okay. It's when it's cold and yuck and ugly out for days and days and weeks sometimes here in Michigan, I can't take it.
I'm just glad the wind's laid down a little bit. That was too
Thank
much.
God.
Yeah, no kidding, right? All right. Well, Representative Leitner, as always, we appreciate the visit. We appreciate your time, and we look forward to talking with you again here real soon, okay?
All right. Happy Tuesday.
Thanks. Happy Tuesday. Happy Taco Tuesday. Bye now. That's Representative Sarah Leitner joining us. This is AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Just like that. It's a Tuesday at 9:35. That can only mean one thing. Live from the County National Bank studio, it's the County National Bank show. And we're going to have to take out a loan to increase the space in this studio. Catherine Cat Walker the front half of the month host for the County National Bank Show. How you doing, Kat?
I am wonderful. It's double digits this morning when you wake up, and yeah.
And we're doing double duty with the guests.
We are. I mean, there's triple like four duty. Of us here. It's
quadruple
insane.
Duty, yeah.
Big stuff happening in February. Big stuff happening.
We like it. We like big stuff happening. We like staying busy, and we like the big things that are going on here in Jackson. So we have a full house. Catherine Kat Walker, you're the host of the show. Let's go ahead. And where do we want to start here today?
I am going to turn it over to our CFO, Eric Lawson, for this one.
Of course you
yes.
are.
That was the introduction right there. Okay. Wow.
Eric Lawson.
You're getting paid by the word?
Who can do math on a treadmill like nobody's business. How you doing? Nice, close, and tight to that microphone, Eric.
I am going to get as close as possible. So basically from this morning.
Yeah.
Being that it's a beautiful day, as Kat's already mentioned, barely snowing at
barely.
This point.
So just a light.
That's a great day.
Yeah.
We did bring a couple of guests, and I'm actually going to let them do the intro. One of them's kind of semi-professional when it comes to talking about himself, so we will allow that. But I will turn the microphone over to Ron O'Rourke.
Hey, Ron, welcome back to the end of Glenshire.
Yes. Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, just blessed to be here today. Thanks for the introduction there, Eric. Appreciate that. Yep. So, we're here just to talk a little bit about Christoph's floor covering and design, my role with them now. And, we're also here with Ted Christoph as well.
Hey, Ted, good to see you. So I know we're talking about Christoph and Sons because you're not wearing the Coney.
That's right.
The Coney suit. So there's two versions of Ted Christoph.
That's
it's
right.
The Coney suit or it's the, yeah. So.
It's like Batman.
Try my Coney. All right. That's going to be, I want to see that as your next reel.
That may be
your
next one.
That's
going to
be the next one.
Good so, TikTok.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today with Christoph and Sons?
Well, we just wanted to introduce Ron as our new commercial and contractor salesperson. So if there's any commercial contractors out there and you're working with Christoph and Sons, Ron and I are going to be working together on most of those projects. And we wanted to talk a little bit about the Home Builders show that's coming up in spring and whatever else.
Yeah, it's that time of year. I kind of always have the scope as the homeowner, but for businesses too, it's that time of year to start thinking about those type of improvement projects. With spring comes the new ideas.
Well, you know, the swimsuits come out in the clothing stores like in the wintertime for a reason.
As soon as the Christmas trees go down.
Exactly.
That's right, the swimsuits
go
up.
Right now's the time to start thinking about your spring projects.
All right. And Ron?
Yeah, plenty of spring projects out there, I'm sure of it. But I'm just really happy to be a part of the team over at Christoph's right now. And fortunately, I have not been asked to wear the hot dog suit yet. So, but I'm sure that's probably going to come down the line sooner or later. But all honesty, I just am really happy to be a part of the team.
Okay.
So, yep, and just got a lot of good things that are coming up here. The Home Builders Show is going to be a pretty amazing time. I know it's sold out, so we're really excited to be a part of that.
Yeah, you guys usually have a double booth over there.
Yeah,
nice fun. Display. Did you have the tub display?
Yes, I built that myself.
You built that yourself. All right. Well, good. So that's going to be coming up. So Ron, I mean, who is it that you've been working with? What type of projects are coming up down the pike for Christoph?
No, that's a great question. We have a bunch of things that we're working on right now. We've just actually submitted a couple of bids already to some projects we're working on or hopefully going to be working on. We also have some other residential things we're working on as well. Obviously, we have a full store that's not just commercial but also residential. We have a great team over there. Just a lot of really good things that are happening over the next few weeks, next few months. And we're excited about this year. I think this year is going to be a really great year for us. And I know Ted can speak a little bit about, you know, last year and what it looked like and what we projected and how we were at and what we look like being at this year.
Now, I know, Ted, we've talked about this before. When I think of Christoph and Sons, I know I always think residential first because that's kind of where my mindset is. Yeah. But we've talked about before, if you walk around Jackson, you'll be walking on the Christoph and Sons products as so many businesses in Jackson too.
That's right. We are excuse me.
That's what happens
over a cold.
When a Coney goes down the wrong pipe. It kind of sticks with you.
I was fortunate enough to go snowmobiling this weekend, which was awesome. Up north was great weather for snowmobiling. But Christoph and Sons, we are commercial and residential.
Right.
We really try to look at everything that's in our world of floor covering and associated products with kitchen cabinets and countertops and commercial, residential, and it can be draperies and it can be wallpaper and commercially entrance mats and industrial. It's really, once you learn one, you learn all the rest. But we tried to specialize. I don't know if that's an oxymoron, specialize in all of those things. Right. So, but we want to be a one-stop shop. We're a design center. And I think Ron can attest, as he's been with us only about a couple of months, that
a cup of coffee, actually, I think.
There's a lot to learn, isn't
there? There's a lot to learn.
A lot of moving parts.
Yeah, talk a little bit about, we just got back from Vegas from a show last week, and that was my first show being part of this type of industry. And I can tell you, it's like a fire hose, you know, just so much stuff to know. And there were so many floor covering and so many companies that, you know, worldwide. And you just walk out of there, you're like, you don't know where to stop. You don't know what to look at. And thank God I had Ted with an itinerary, because I would have walked in there and been like, where do I start? I mean, so it was great. It was a great experience.
Let's since this is the County National Bank show, let's talk a little bit. Let's kind of touch on the relationship that that you have with CNB, with Christoph and Sons.
Well, certainly. Excuse me.
That's that Coney again.
Brings it to my heart.
More mustard, less onions. All right.
Well, you know, certainly as a local business, we need business financing, and County National Bank has been there for us for many years. And, you know, also there, a lot of our customers rely on good commercial banking in this business, in this community, for us to do our work. So, you know, and the way I look at it, I mean, I know Eric could probably certainly speak to this better, but the climate is very good right now for commercial lending and growing and build a building. And, you know, and I see a lot of optimism here in Jackson. So that's just how this wheels just keep turning.
All right. Well, he said you could speak a little bit better to that. Let's have you speak a little bit better to that, Eric.
Well, certainly 2025 ended pretty well for everyone. I think every company in this area has looked at their financials and felt pretty good about how the 2025 year went. So that's the great thing. But as usual with finance guys, we're always looking at the next year.
Yeah.
It's tough around this time of year because I can't recall which year I'm talking about. I'm either retrospectively talking about what happened in 2025 or trying to talk about what's happening in 2026 and this year and that last year. It all gets confusing.
Well, when we hear from the news, though, it's all doom and gloom. It's all, you know, bad this, bad that, economy's taking a crap and all that stuff. And I'm not hearing that from you.
No, the great thing about being in an area this such as this part of the country is there is some insulation when it comes to that. We're not necessarily on a fringe area, whether it's, you know, worried about shipping on either the coast or international trade as much. Of course, every area now, we're connected as a world. But for us here in Jackson, our focus really is this area, right? Mm-hmm. This area or the surrounding areas. And the reality is that some of the things that are going on that certainly can cause concern. It seems like every day we're seeing something different. It can be something we focus on, but in reality, when you look at what's going on here, we're still going out every day and blocking and tackling. Yeah. And I think in the Jackson area right now, from the advisory boards that we have, including our Jackson advisory board, they have been bullish on what they're seeing so far for their orders and their projected orders for the 2026 year.
All right. When you have a business who's looking to make improvements, what do they need to do? Contact Cat directly. What's the best step for them?
Yeah, I would say so. You could always email. We have I think 7 commercial lenders here in Jackson, and you can call. You can walk into the Fields Building, email. We're all out there in our internet page. Just call. We'll take a look at your financials. What is it you want to do? And then, like Eric said, like sometimes we take it to advisory, you know, and really have that open communication of the local businesses. Yeah. Maybe you had a bad year. I mean, but we discuss it all. And if we see a purpose to help our community, somehow, some way, we will get that done for you.
Gotcha. Now, Ted, how long has Christoph and Sons been in business here in Jackson?
Since 1979. So
So you've seen some updating then.
Yes.
How often can you count on, how many fingers will it take you to count on where you're like, you know what? We put that in and now it's time to update.
Oh, you mean having repeat customers?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Right. I mean, that's every day. Our mainstay is our repeat customers. And certainly, as you know, referrals and repeats is number one in our lead categories. And so the biggest pressure is not wanting to do it yourself. Like, you know, all the new things come out and you think, oh, I really want that in my house. But, you know, I got to wait. So, you know, because we sell good stuff, you want it to wait. But we've been in the business, me personally, since 1992. And so we pride ourselves on just building relationships. Ron and I were talking about like what our goal is commercially, you know, and for a commercial contractor and a commercial builder, we're here to build relationships. And we do bid work. Mm-hmm. But we don't like bid work. We like to build relationships with customers and with contractors. And so we just see customers repeat.
Well, gosh, any industry that you're working in, it's about the people.
It is.
I tell my kids all the time, it's not what you know. It's who you know. You have to get out there and know the people. What you know helps.
Yes.
But who you know is going to advance you.
Well, you know, I've always said this, and it's true. It's kind of cliche, but when all things are equal, people will buy from people they know.
Right.
When all things are not equal, people will buy from people they know because they're confused and their things are not equal. So relationship is really everything.
Right. Yeah. And it's about trust.
It's about trust.
It's about being able to talk with Ted, whether he's wearing a Coney suit or not, being able to talk with Ted or talk with Ron.
That's right.
And answering those questions that come up as you go along.
Well, we certainly pride ourselves on having good processes in controls in the business such that if you don't talk to Ted, you certainly are talking to someone that I have trained and that we have all agreed and we're all on the same page together. So, I mean, you
can... Right. No. As a kid, did you ever think you're going to have an office in the toy house?
No, actually, we were just talking about that. The last time that I was in the toy house before my last interview with them, or my first interview with them, was when my son was three, and that was what, 27 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but they, if you haven't, I come across this a lot once I tell people that I'm working with Christoph and Sons floor covering. I asked them, I said, have you ever been to our store? And it's surprisingly, it surprises me how many people have not seen the renovations and the new store, but still use our services, right? So I recommend you just coming in and seeing what we have. We have everything from floor covering to cabinets to hardware to showers. Mm-hmm. We have everything. We have a beautiful, beautiful display.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that was a pivot that you decided to make. Gosh, how many years ago when you moved there? You decided to
2020. We moved in 2020. Yeah.
Hey, you know, great things happened in COVID year.
Yeah, it was. You know? That was a strange year.
It was because of the building, because you had the space, and that's what led you to expand,
you'd grow and expand. Yeah, buying the toy house definitely changed our business and changed our lives. Gave us opportunities to showcase our flooring and our cabinets and our, like Ron was saying, bathrooms. We have full-size bathrooms, multiples, all set up so that you can visualize. Our customers are typical, like we are. You need to see it. And they'll go, that's what a size 24 by 48 size tile. If I just showed you a tile like that, imagine 2-foot by 4-foot tile, you'd say, that's ridiculous. But when I show it installed in a bathroom, they go, oh, that's gorgeous. Mm. I've seen that on the internet. So it's kind of a gap between what you see on the internet and what's in your dreams. Well, we are dream makers. We talk about the Disney experience, and we want to create an experience for our customer, who's typically women.
Right.
And they have a vision.
The decision makers.
Absolutely.
I mean, yes, dear means something.
Very woman-centric showroom. So,
All right.
One of the things I'll share, too, is one of the reasons why I took this job was not just because of Ted, but also the way that he gives back to the community and Christoph gives back to the community, such as the fact that they actually have a community room that's available for people. Ted, you can speak a little bit more on this, where it's free of no charge, and you can bring in and you can meet there. It's a meeting space. It's comfortable. It's beautiful. And so that really was a big reason.
Well, you know, one of our core values is service, and, mm-hmm. And you know, we love to give back to the community, so we're always looking to support the community in any way. But it just made sense that that we could have the Toy House, which was such a intricate part of Jackson County, to give back continually to the community. So it's by choice. It's about 10% of our showroom, and we donated it to the community.
It's a nice facility too. I've been to, you know, quite a few meetings there. What was the easiest transition for you when you moved to the Toy House and you decided we're going to bring in these different products? Was it an all-in-one kind of thing, or are you like, you know what, why don't we go to kitchens and counters? No, now we're going to do bathrooms. Now we're going to do the, what was it like, a snowball effect? Did you want to do one thing on top of the flooring and then just snowballed from there?
So first of all, nothing was easy. What was is hire designers. That's what will get you in trouble. So I have some wonderful designers that are like, well, you know, we should be carrying this. Well, you know, my customers want faucets and they want lighting and they want wallpaper and they want draperies and like, okay, well, if that's what our customers want, then let's get into that business. And they know it and they love it. And our designers just, they get fueled on the new.
And you expanded out to Coldwater too.
No, Battle Creek.
I'm sorry, Battle Creek.
Maybe Coldwater must be next.
Maybe.
Battle Creek. Started something there.
All right. Mm-hmm. Just a throw from Horrocks.
That's right. Oh, Horrocks is awesome. Yeah,
we love Horrocks.
It is.
So how are things going in Battle Creek?
Battle Creek is fantastic. We bought a store. Man retired. He was very similar to our store. And the staff is there. The Battle Creek community is wonderful. It's very similar to Jackson. You know, growing up in Jackson, I don't think that we ever thought Battle Creek was as good as us. But I can tell you there's a lot of wonderful things in Battle Creek, and especially food. Boy, are they foodie people over there.
Oh, really?
Oh, gosh, yeah. There is a lot of food.
I love Jackson. People. I love Jackson. I mean, Jackson's my number one spot. I love it here. But every community has their things that bring, you know, a little positivity and their pluses and minuses to them.
Well, for us, it was really nice because we did service Marshall and Battle Creek, or up to Battle Creek and Albion and the surrounding communities in Hillsdale and Coldwater and that Battle Creek area. It's just like now we're regional.
Okay.
We can reach further.
All right. So Ron, you're kind of in the middle of that learning curve.
Smack dab in the middle.
So what are you looking forward to in the coming year?
Well, just learning the more and more every day. You know, a funny tidbit here. So we were at the show last week and we walked in. I said, "Ted, man, smells like new carpet in here." And he said to me, he goes, "It's not the carpet." I was like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "It's the glue." Yeah. So when people smell that new carpet, it's the actual glue. So I did not know that. So I learned things like that. You know,
they should put that on a car air freshener.
Seriously, like a candle. My dad would always go,
"Smells like money."
But, you know, I'm just really excited about being a part of the journey. And I love Ted's vision. I know this is not Battle Creek is not, it's not going to stop with Battle Creek. You know, there's more to come. And I'm excited to be a part of that.
All right. Very good. Anything left untouched that we didn't talk about today?
No, I think like you said, as the community room that you offer, I know our branch managers, Tessa, she's big in the chamber, and she has used that community room for some of their branch manager meetings for all the branch managers to meet. And again, like you said, as you just, you offer everything. So I see you at several community events. So if I have an issue or a problem, I can come to you. Or if I say, "Hey, oh my gosh, my shower looks wonderful," I can see you, like you said, at one of the chamber events out there. And it's just being all part of the community.
You know what I love is when Ted shows up to events, now he's bringing a box of Coney's with him. You know,
are you hungry?
He does.
I think so. I know.
It's the perfect meal for any time of the day, isn't it, Ted?
That is true.
It is true. All right. It's the County National Bank Show, live from the County National Bank studio. To all of our guests, welcome and thank you for being a part of the show here today.
Thank you very much.
This is AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM. This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM and online at WKHM.com.